preaching all over the world. We used to look forward to a Kalashi because we used to have a Kalashi feast. Yeah, this is ISKCON style. So many different preps, non-grains, non-beans. And this way we're encouraged to go and preach. It's a preaching movement. We could, what Prabhupada says in that devotion, some devotees stay up all night and chant around all night. The next day, Prabhupada, you want to come on now enough? Sorry, I feel too tired. So we have to think about priorities. Our movement is the Goswami Anandi movement. There's two movements, Bhajan Anandi. There's two processes, Bhajan Anandi and Goswami Anandi. Goswami Anandi means we care for other people. We try to give Krishna consciousness to others. Of course we give to ourselves, we chant 16 rounds. But we want to go out and we want to advertise this movement. Bhajan Hare Krishna. Lord Chaitanya said, Bharata Bhumite Vaida Manushi Janmaya Janma Sataka Kaurava Parupakara. Those who are, especially those Indians, bodies, people, they have a special responsibility. Because they're no good for this technology, actually. You know what the only reason why they're good for the technology? And why there's so many IT devotees here, with Indian bodies? Because of Sanskrit. I heard that people love IT devotees from India because they know Sanskrit. And Sanskrit is like a computer program, which is completely regulated. Anyway, that's just offshore. So Lord Chaitanya said, yeah, now the duty, just like Prabhupada. He was one man from India. He did his whole thing. Just imagine if all the Indian devotees, Indian body devotees, because we don't mind anyone's body. This is non-sectarian. But Lord Chaitanya said, those who are to whom those have a human form of life, born in Bharatvarsha. They can take it, Bharatvarsha. Could mean India, could mean the whole world. Anyway, that's a good point. Madhavatiti, this is Kadashi, so it's, we can meditate on this. How will we spread this movement here in Australia? So all the Australians of all different shapes and sizes, even, you know, Ethiopians and Chinese and Africans. There's so many immigrants here. But where are they here? Where are they all? I don't see any Chinese people here. I don't see any indigenous tribes. I don't see any Africans. What's going on here? This is in-house, Indian movement. This is something to think about on this ecology. Our responsibility to become purified and preach to others. And then the next line, Krishna Vasati, Vasati Bori, Parama Adare Bori. Let the holy places of Krishna's pastimes be my places of worship and bless me. So of course, ISKCON Melbourne is a place of Krishna's pastimes. And I've seen many temples in Grihastha's homes. But we could have many temples here in Melbourne. Just look at Delhi. Delhi, they have about 10 big Radha Krishna temples. Why don't we have more in Melbourne? So that people can go to the place of the Krishna's pastimes. Of course, we could also go to India and to Mayapur and Vrindavan. Well, Krishna's here, in deity form, he's having pastimes. Especially Lord Chaitanya's having Sankirtan pastimes. Chaitanya's having Rathyatra pastimes next week. So this is a holy place. We don't have to think, oh, I have to go to India and spend all that money. And we should make Melbourne a place for Krishna's pastime. Okay, next line. Gora Amara Yestavasane Korala Brahmana Rangi. 3. May I always visit all the holy places associated with the leader of Lord Chaitanya and his devotees in the association of devotees. Well, we're doing that on the Gauramandala Parikrama and they never even, and they rather Vrindavan Parikrama, who's been on the Navadvipana Parikrama, who's been on the Vajranda Parikrama. Yeah, that's nice. Okay. Say Sabasana Hari Bhavami Pranaya Bhakata Samange. Murdanga Vajya Srinite Mana Abhasara Sadhyache. When I hear the sound of the Murdanga, in my heart I always desire to join in kirtan. And when I hear the bona fide songs describing Vajradhana's pastimes, my heart dances in ecstasy. Yugala five, Yugala Murti, Deki Amora, Parama Ananda Hoya. Whenever I see the transcendental Sri Vigrahas or deities of Radha Krishna, I am in bliss. For by taking in Lordship Prasadam, we can conquer over the material elements. Prasada Seva, Kari Te Hoya. Sakala Prapancha Joya. How many of you, how many of us joined Hare Krishna first by taking prasadam? Anyone? Anyone like prasadam here? Yeah, everybody. Yeah. I got my first prasadam in London. And I didn't want anyone to preach to me. It was a very cold January day in 1917. And I thought I was an incarnation of Lord Buddha. I was saying everything equally, you know. It's like voidist, impersonalist. But then I did hear that. So I was thinking I was God, but God was very hungry. So I remembered, wow, the Hare Krishna gives free food. So I located the Hare Krishna place near the British Museum, very place. And it was very quiet. I pushed open the door and there was a smell of spices and incense. And it was dead quiet. I'd never been there before. I was wondering what was going to happen. Then this manager put up a head from the basement. There were some stairs going down to the basement. It was Malati. You know Malati, one of the first devotees of Iniskam? And she took one look at me because I looked very strange. A typical hippie, you know. I had this white surgeon's jacket on with short sleeves. But there was all these felt-tip pens, signs on it, like Star of David, Om sign, cross, you know, all kinds of crazy things written on the surgeon's jacket. So she took one look at me and she said, "You want to eat? You want something to eat?" She said, "You want something to eat?" I said, "Yes, yes." She said, "Come downstairs." So I went downstairs. I didn't want anyone to preach to me, and I think she understood that. Went downstairs. She said, "Sit here." There's a completely bare room, and with just linoleum on the floor. So she said, "Sit here." And I felt at home there because, you know, in the hippie days, we like to reject all this furniture and eating with knives and forks. So it was a nice bare room, I sat on the floor. And there was this big picture on the wall. And I didn't know it was Lord Chaitanya, but he was standing like this, his hands in the air, his long black hair. And I thought, wow, he's on a trip. Taking some psychedelic drugs. Quite a nice place. And then she brought this big, she said, "Actually, everyone's gone out on Harinam. Everyone's gone on Harinam. And we've only got dal left. Do you want dal? Everyone started taking their lunch. And we've only got dal." So I said, "I'm ready for anything." So I said, yeah, bring. I said, "Bring." And she said, "Yeah." So she brought this big stainless steel bowl of green mung dal. It was very boiling hot. And it was like cumin seeds and chilies, and the steam just made my eyes water. So it was amazing. And I just finished that green moon bath and then floated out onto the stream. In the car, I didn't feel any cold after that. That was my first prasadam. Krishna prasadam ki!
Yeah.
Everyone has different stories of their first prasadam. That was my story. Okay? Where are we now? Five, yeah. Prasada seva. Six. Yedina kriye bhajana seneti kriye te goloka paya. Six. One day, Bhakti Vinod Thakur says, while performing devotional practices, I saw my house transformed into Goloka Vrindavan. So we've been taking lunch at many, accepting many invitations for lunch, and I've seen everyone's home has nice altars, Jagannath, Goni Thai, and Radha Krishna, and so many beautiful deities. So I just imagine that at your home, sometimes you think, oh, my home is just like Goloka Vrindavan, because we're worshipping Radha Krishna, and we're getting up and we're doing the artis and so on. So this is Bhaktivinoda's example, wonderful example. Charana Siddhu Dekhiya Ganga Sukha Sajima Paya. When I take the Charanamrita of the deity, I see the holy Ganges water that come from the feet of Lord Vishnu, and my bliss knows now bounds. Actually, we're worshipping Brahma tomorrow. And of course, there's Trivikram. He knocked a hole in the shell of the universe, and the Ganga came down from the lotus feet of the Lord. So when we take Charanamrita in the morning, and it's actually the same as Gangaja, because it's washed the lotus feet of the Lord. So we can see like that. Tulasi deki juraya prana madhava toshani chani. Seven. By seeing the Tulsi tree, my heart feels joy, and Lord Madhava Krishna is also satisfied. Yeah, Tulsi is the devotee who is always on the lotus feet of the Lord in the form of a Tulsi leaves. So we can pray to Tulsi. She says that whoever takes shelter of me has his wishes fulfilled. So if you want to pray to anyone, Tulsi is inviting you. Take shelter of me and your wishes will be fulfilled. So of course devotees like to have spiritual wishes. Wish I could be a pure devotee. I wish I could marry a devotee. Yeah. That's the only spiritual wishes we could have. When I eat the prasadam favored by Lord Chaitanya, it is a new life's experience. Lord Chaitanya was very fond of a green vegetable preparation called shak. And there's another song in this book that tells the amazing effects of this type of prasadam. Yeah. Okay. So everyone likes prasadam, and especially shak. There's supposed to be 26 varieties of shak and spinach. One for every quality of the body. Yeah. Okay, next. Bhakti Vino. Bhakti Vino Krishna Bhajani Anukula Bhayaya. Bhakti Vinod concludes by saying, whoever attains the stage of enthusiasm for these devotional practices will be supremely blissful wherever he may be. So this is called Vaidhi Bhakti and Sadhana Bhakti. Sadhana Bhakti is divided into two. One is Vaidhi Bhakti by the order of Guru. We do because we're supposed to. The Guru said we must chant 16 rounds. I have no attraction for them, but still I'm going to do them. Prabhupada said, This is called numerical strength. People think, ah, the devotees are just mechanically chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare. That's better than nothing. Better than nothing. Because numerical strength will be there. Later on, it becomes enthusiasm, and then that becomes sadhana bhakti in spontaneous. Raga bhakti becomes spontaneous practice. It's like any practice. Like you practice cricket. You have to keep practicing cricket, and one day you'll be captain of the Australian cricket team. Who wants to be captain of the Australian cricket team? Or captain of football? I've seen the kids bouncing the ball here. You have to practice. So you also have to practice chanting. We're not going to get perfect chanting just if we relax lackadaisical. Sometimes we don't finish a round, sometimes we do. You know, sometimes it takes half an hour just to do one round. Dive bombed up on the middle of the round, space out. So no, we have to be serious. Prabhupada says, chanting is very simple, but we must practice seriously. The words Hare Krishna must be very carefully pronounced and heard with the help of the upper lip and upper mouth and the tongue. So, this is sadhana bhakti. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he loved all his activities and he's very enthusiastic. So this is a way forward. Okay, let's sing a song now. Can someone hold a piece of paper in case I forget?
Krishna, 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 Krish
Diana, Diana, Diana.
Vipsho, 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 Vipsho,
pleasures.
Nāse kēso vītum tātra.
Nāse kēso vītum tātra. Translation. As a serpent living within the cavity of a tree wishes to leave when there is a forest fire, so the city's police superintendent, the snake, wished to leave the city due to the fire's severe heat. Please repeat. As a serpent living within
the cavity of a tree
wishes to leave when there is a forest fire, so the city's police superintendent,
the snake,
wished to leave the city
due to the fire's severe heat.
Purple. It becomes very difficult for snakes to have a forest, to leave a forest when there is a fire. Other animals may flee due to their long legs, but serpents only being able to crawl are generally burnt in the fire. At the last stage, the limbs of the body are not as much affected as the life air. In actual devotional soul, Prabhupada mentions that. Devotional services is like a fire which burns up all the snakes of sinful reactions, activities, which we've accumulated for many lifetimes. We're born in this material body because of our sinful activities. Material body means we're sinful. It's a prison house. Prison house of Durga, Durga Devi. And she's got this trishul, she's got all kinds of weapons. You seen that picture of Durga Devi?
Yeah.
She's on a lion or a tiger, she's sticking that demon. That demon is us. Have you ever thought about that? It's us. We're getting pronged by adhyatmic, adipotic, and adidaivic miseries. This is not normal for the soul. This is a miserable condition because of our accumulated karma for many, many lifetimes. So the devotional service is like a fire. And snakes are all these sinful things. They cannot escape. It was, but prayaschitta, you know prayaschitta? This is called atonement. Just like in some churches or other religions, you confess your faults. Oh, I did this, I did that. I shouldn't have done it. I'm really sorry. And so the priest says, okay, you have to say so many Ave Marias, or you have to put so much money in the box, and be a good boy next week. But unfortunately, Next week comes along, and then you do the same thing again. This is called Hati Snan. Elephant's bath. I don't see an elephant taking bath. I was in Sri Lanka one time. We were taking a bath in the Kaveri River. There was an elephant that was taking, the temple elephant was taking bath and also. But then as soon as he got to the shore, picked up the dust, sprinkled all over his skin. And that was, this is the same thing that we do. Because our heart is not purified by this other processes. You know, you do some, just like Saint Prabhupada gives another example, because we all know this example, sticks in our mind. If we, you know, we're very sexually active, then we may catch some bad disease, venereal disease. So we have to go to the doctor, and you know, to try and cure it. But then again, same problem comes back. So this is the example. There's another example Prabhupada gives. Nice one. There was a pilgrimage to Vrindavan or somewhere. And there was a thief. He joined a pilgrimage to go to Vrindavan, but he's actually a thief. And you know, he was doing the good things in life. He was going on the pilgrimage. But everyone was sleeping in the dharamshala. They had all the, you know, everyone lies on a mat, and it's very simple. When he woke up, and he was going around everyone's backs, looking in everyone's backs, and make sure that nobody was watching him. And he was going, taking a walk, and then he thought, oh no, I'm going on pilgrimage, I'm a thief, but I come to thieving with these people, you know. So he would leave one bag then, no, let me try another bag. He'd go on all night like that. So when the people woke up in the morning, hey, what happened to my bag? It's all upside down, what's going on? So he felt really bad. He said, oh, I'm really sorry, by profession I'm a thief. And I couldn't stop it, you know. But this is our condition, you know, we have so many accumulated bad habits for many, many lifetimes. And in this lifetime also. So, how to get rid of all these habits? Prabhupada said, habit is second nature. Second nature. So there's only hope is this devotional service. And because this cleanses our heart. Not just a ritualistic ceremony. Oh, I did bad, so I did so much tricking on the black market, I ripped people off. Okay, so I'll give a good donation to the temple. Of course, it's better than nothing. I'm not saying you shouldn't do it, you shouldn't do it. The real atonement is to become pure in heart, to become a devotee of Krishna. Because then we won't want to do anything. Automatically, if we become devotees, we follow all the rules and regulations. Because we have a higher taste. Vishayami Nivartan Day, Niraharasya Dayam, Rasova Chandra Sopshasya, Param Dushpadivar. We can't stop these habits just by repression, by force. They keep coming back. But we have to find something better. So that's Hare Krishna. And that's how Prabhupada started the movement. In the movement, in the beginning, he didn't tell anyone the rules and regulations. He didn't. He just said, chant Hare Krishna. Gradually introduced more and more regulations. Gradually he said, now you must have Guru Puja. Now you must read the slokas. In the beginning, he didn't read the slokas in Sanskrit. Later on, he introduced. So this is devotional service, and it's good for everyone. So the only trouble is, as I see, is that we have a big standard here, very strict everything, and then new people, how can they accommodate this? So we have to have some place where people can feel at home without feeling like they're getting beaten on the head by the rules and regulations. And we have to think how to outreach to people. Very important. Just like in New Govardhan. Who's been to New Govardhan? And if they have this yoga village, they have woofers and volunteers looking after the farm, and they're complete outsiders actually. But by association of devotees, taking prasadam, and they're not forced to come to the temple, but they like it. And some devotees are there to make friends with them, preach to them, then they have a Krishna house if they want to start following the rules. Of course, we don't allow drinking and drugs in the yoga village. And so the people know that nowadays, especially young people, they know we should become more sattvic now. This is the effect of the Hare Krishna preaching, is that the people that know this, you know, no meat eating, no intoxication, that's actually good. So they do come and then we cultivate them. So how to do that in Melbourne, we have to think. Because you could just imagine if some hippie comes in here and think, oh, there's a bunch of Indians. And they're bowing down and doing all this thing, you know. I don't feel at home here. And I just feel awkward. So we have to, I believe you're trying to start something like that, right? There's some, like I heard on Sunday, many people come, right? Many outsiders come on Sunday. Locals. The local yokels.
When we have space, we have a little what we call urban yoga.
Yeah, urban yoga.
That's
good. Because there's so many communities here in Melbourne. We've seen them, we have to make them all Krishna conscious. This is international society. So they all have the same problem. We all have birth, old age, disease and death, miserable conditions. But the chanting is the medicine. Cleanse our heart from all the dust accumulated for years together. So, this is a bit, and then one sentence of Prabhupada says, at the last stage, the limbs of the body are not so much affected as the life air. Okay, so any questions, please? We don't have much time. 8:24. We can also ask questions about the song, Bhaktivinoda Thakur's song, and this part of the Bhagavatam. It's funny, actually, this song doesn't mention hearing the Bhagavatam. Does it?
Yeah.
Does it mention? Shuddha Bhakata Chananarina. Can anyone think of that song? Does it mention the Bhagavatam? Or does it? What do you think? Give me the song.
It's glorified the hearing, isn't
it?
It's glorified hearing.
When I hear the... What line of the song is that? When I hear about the...
Performing devotional practices.
Devotional practices. Yeah, when performing devotional practices in my home. And that could be that hearing Bhagavatam, Krishna. Yeah. So any questions, please? Yeah.
Maharaj, would you like to tell us how you met Srila Prabhupada? And where you were today?
Yes, I'd like to say. It was interesting because I had a friend, he taught me to chant Hare Krishna. That's a long story. So after chanting Hare Krishna, I'd heard about Bhagavad Gita. So I went up to London and I tried to get a copy of Bhagavad Gita from the temple. I didn't want to be preached to, but I asked the doctor on the door, I said, do you have a copy of Bhagavad Gita? He said, we run out. Because it was a blue, it was a blue abridged edition of Bhagavad Gita with Narayana on the front. So this is, but maybe Ramshaw, he has his own copy and he'll sell it to you. So I, and this is on the top story, so I went all the way up the stairs. And I met Ramshaw, I said, I wonder, can I buy your Bhagavad Gita? So he looked at me and he thought, he must have thought I was a sincere person. He said, all right, I'll sell it to you. Maybe he knew that the other, they were coming soon. The Bhagavad Gita was on the way from the BBT in America. So he sold it to me for 10 bob. Mm-hmm. And 10 bob. It was 10 shillings. That means like 50p now. You know, in England it's like 75 cents, I suppose, Australian. Well, what was Australian dollar? So then I went back to where I was happened to be staying. And I read Bhagavad Gita. I read the introduction, and there I met Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada came.
Yeah.
I thought, here's the first person that I'm reading. The first book I've ever read in my whole life, which I can trust the person who is speaking. I don't know how it happened, but I automatically felt, here's my spiritual master. And then I read some slokas, like Ahamsavasya Prabhupo, Madhaksavam Prabhupada. You know, Krishna says, I am the source of the material and spiritual worlds. Then I understood, I was, here is the Father of Lord Jesus. Mm-hmm. Prabhupada is teaching us, who is the Father of Lord Jesus? Krishna. And I could understand Bhagavad Gita very easily by reading the introduction to Bhagavad Gita. And it was, I accepted Prabhupada in my heart. So that's why I always like to answer this question by saying that. Anyone who reads Prabhupada's books and you know, he's touched by Prabhupada's books, he's meeting Prabhupada. And he's Vani at home. Prabhupada says Vani is more important than Vapu. Vapu is temporary body of Guru. He goes into the Samadhi. So what can you do? You can do your job around the Samadhi. You can't talk to Prabhupada. Not easily. You may be able to in trance, special trance. Prabhupada can speak if he wants to. He can speak. He's not just a bunch of plastic. He's not. Else why are we dressing him? He's just plastic. Why are we offering things to him? But still, even more accessible is his Vani form, his instructions, his words. And it's personal because a book is personal, you know. Everybody reads the words in a different way. Isn't it? The words are not the same for everyone. Because everyone has different background, different life, a different culture. How is it that people in Africa or in China or anywhere, they're reading Prabhupada in his books? And they're surrendering their side to Chandra Krishna. Because he can, the pure devotee like Narayana can enter the hearts of all. This is his potency. Enter the hearts of all and we can meet Prabhupada in his instructions. So it's not that it only I met Prabhupada. That's what I don't like. You know? Oh, you're a Prabhupada disciple. You're not Prabhupada disciple. Everyone's Prabhupada disciple who takes Prabhupada seriously and follows his instructions and listens to him. But not by diksha. You can't be diksha disciple Prabhupada. That's, you know, I have disciples. And Prabhupada said in the easy journey to other planets that after we become, you know, practice in devotional service, we can become gurus ourselves, like a monitor in a class. So this is Prabhupada's class. That's why we're reading Prabhupada's books. Why we find Prabhupada's instruction. So I'm like a monitor in Prabhupada's class, taking disciples, because this is the link with the Sampradaya. But as far as teaching is concerned, I give time to give instructions of Prabhupada. So in that form, the spiritual master is always with us. Prabhupada is always with us. And that's Guru Maharaj is always with us. That's how I'm actually a Prabhupada. Honestly, this is what I felt. I'm not just saying this. Actually, when I saw Prabhupada physically, it was like, I couldn't say it was a letdown, but it was in a very place in London, 1971, and he was just visiting the temple in August, and they went to the airport to meet Prabhupada, and so they told Shamasundar, said, all you new devotees should wait inside. I don't know why he said that. And we were all inside the corridor, and there was a front door. And we heard the car arrive, and everyone was screaming, Baba, Baba, Krishna, Krishna. Completely frantic, right? Like, Prabhupada has just arrived on the pavement outside. And so I was waiting, because I read Prabhupada's books, and, you know, chanting Hare Krishna, I was thinking, what's he going to be like? What's he going to be like, you know? Because, you know, naturally doubt that the intelligence is still there. Is he going to be some trickster? You're like some Sai Baba here at camera. I'm great, you know, I'm great. So I was just waiting to see if he passed my test. I wanted to see if he was a genuine. In his books, I gave my heart to Prabhupada. I'm going to see now his Vapu is going to come in the door. And there he was, such a small person. Such a small person. You think from his books, it's like, how far? A small, you know, maybe 5'2" and 5'6", 5'6" or 7". Maybe it's 5'2". And I always get this feeling, when he came in the door, he was just like a man coming back from work. And I used to watch my father come in the front door from the side window. And he used to come out the front door, he could park the car, come out the front door, put the key in the door, and just like habitual. It's like, of course Prabhupada was happy to be coming there, but he'd been going to so many temples. So this was another of his temples, right? So he's just very composed and at home, normal. I thought, wow, this is so normal. Everyone else is just screaming and jumping. Prabhupada's just normal, you know? Very modest and composed. Nothing special, actually. So then he went into the temple room. And then he must have gone to the deities and made his vision. There were so many devotees, I couldn't see what happened. Then he sat on the Vyasasana. Then I was thinking, now what's he going to say? Is he going to say something like, far out, outlandish, amazing, you know? He's kind of like a new discovery, that is. And then Prabhupada gave the talk. It's just everything I read in the books. It's everything in the books, same as in the books. The same philosophy, same teachings. And then I knew that he passed my test. Because I was testing him. We should all test the spiritual master. What is the spiritual master going to say? You're going to say something crazy or something new? Or no, the spiritual master is repeating the message of the Parampara. So that's how. So really, when I met Srila Prabhupada physically, it confirmed what I read in the books. That was my experience. you very much. Any more questions, please? Is that a question then?
No. Yes.
Uttaj Prasad Nanaka?
Fasting.
Fasting?
You fast.
You really?
No.
Yes.
Yeah,
Brahma
days.
Fasting for
Brahma. Should we talk about Brahma? I was told we don't talk about Brahma today, because tomorrow's Brahma.
What are you
saying?
Have you answered Brahma?
Tomorrow.
Tomorrow
we'll be fasting.
We're fasting today,
though. You mean fasting till midday?
Yeah.
Okay. Question, please.
Just in regards to singing, it always seems obvious certain things like not eating meat, which shouldn't do it. And then there seems to be a lot of other sort of forms of sin, like maybe lying or that may sort of seem like it's not as bad maybe, but then I was curious like karma-wise or as levels of sin, are they all just as bad like other forms of sin besides, you know, maybe promiscuous sex or drinking alcohol or eating meat, which are obviously not good. Then there's so many other forms of sin, like for example lying, that don't seem as bad, but are they just as bad? Or, you know, what are the levels of sin and the reactions that we're going to get from all our forms of sin?
Yeah. They become angry at people.
Yes, that's okay.
Punching someone in the face. Tripping someone up. Careless driving. But Prabhupada basically, he would say that if we follow these four laws and regulations, then we'll improve, come into the mode of goodness, so that we'll be averse to doing anything which is against the devotions. Because actually there's different versions, but said that intoxication destroys mercy. So that's a quality. Illicit sex destroys cleanliness, and meat eating destroys austerity. This is a very proud thing to do. So the four pillars of religion are there, but they're destroyed by these activities. Meat eating, as you say, gambling. Gambling destroys truthfulness. So this more or less covers everything. If you look at it that way, you see that lying is also included. Why should you lie? Because you're selfish, you're greedy, you're lusty, you want to exploit somebody. So these four pillars of irreligion, they're very scientific actually. It's very scientific. So, truthfulness, cleanliness, mercy, and austerity. These are the four pillars of religious life, principles of religion. It's described in the Bhagavad Gita. to some are worse than others, obviously. Just like, and we should also be very accommodating. Prabhupada talks about how people who have bad habits, and it's difficult to give up bad habits. So, somebody's addicted to tea or cigarettes. Prabhupada gives the example, that somebody may be a devotee, but he used to smoke a lot of cigarettes. And he meets his old friend. His old friend brings out one fag, one cigarette, and takes it before he knows where he is, smoking a cigarette. So, he's a devotee. Apichet Siddha Acharya Bhajati Mamananyapa Sarareva Samantavya Samyak Vyavisitavisa. Despite the most abominable action, one is to be considered saintly if he's fully engaged in devotional service. Even if by chance he makes some mistake, to be considered devoting him. So devotional service is so powerful that unintentional mistakes or something caused by habit can be forgiven. Krishna forgives. Devotees forgive. We're very forgiving, we're accommodating. Somebody's trying hard to be a devotee. And he's given the benefit of the doubt. And of course, the Prabhupada warns us, he says, you can't take advantage of this and then go on doing simple activities. But I met one devotee. There's one devotee, I don't know if he's here, but he has a gemstone shop.
Oh, yes.
He has a gemstone shop. And he sells the gemstones. There's some gemstone you sell, and you say, well, listen, this gemstone, it counteracts the effects of the radiation in a mobile phone. So I recommend that you should, and it's very popular, this gemstone. So I said, is this true? I don't know. But he says, I'm a businessman. I have to say something. Why are you all clapping?
That's not a businessman, that's a comment.
So he says, you have to sell something when you're doing business. You have to say to the customer, but you are making no profit. I'm giving. The Bhagavad Gita says, why are you so popular? For every endeavor there's some kind of fault. The brahmana, he has to do some karma kind of stuff. And he has to, sometimes he has to even kill an animal.
Ooh.
A Brahmin. He has to do some nonsense because it's his occupation, a Brahmin, in Nepal. But even in Islam, there's some Brahmanas that do karma kanda, of karma kanda stuff. Just like, people come and want to do this, blessings for this and that. And I open my shop and go and do a karma kanda sacrifice in his shop. So it's not a truth. It's to maintain his family, and he has to do something on the side as a Brahmin. Then the Kshatriya, he has to do some diplomacy. He has to tell lies sometimes. For the sake of the country, You can't always tell the truth. It's security, isn't it? Security of the country. It's at stake. It's just like this thing with Trump, He's saying, he blocks the witnesses. The president is blocking the witnesses. They're trying to impeach him. He says, you can't bring those witnesses. It's a high principle to protect the country. We don't, you know, these are such a business. They used to tell a lie, they could be diplomatic. And then the businessman, yes, used to tell a lie, it's the same business. Even though he has to hide his profits, do something on the black market, because it's illegal. So, and then the Shudra, what does the Shudra have to do? What does the Shudra have to do? Which is bad.
Serve
a bad master. Yeah, to serve a bad master. Just like soldiers, they're just minions, they just do what they're told. They have to do what they're told, so they're shooters. They're not real soldiers, they're just army men. The Prabhupada tells a story how in Europe, the Germans were coming down towards Belgium, the German army, and the Allied army was having to defend Belgium and France from the Germans coming down, Second World War. And there were many, many women and children. Many, many women and children. They were homeless, they just, hundreds of them. And they asked the general, the British general, I think, what to do, what shall we do? Yeah, Russians and Germans are coming. They said, we have to kill them all. They were all killed by their own people. Took them and put them in one place and just shot them all. So this is like, you have to do, sometimes you have to do bad things. If the soldiers refused to do it, they would also be considered traitors. They would also be shot. So Shudra, you have to sometimes serve a bad master. But sometimes it's good servant. Shall I tell you a funny story?
Yes.
It's not suitable for a galaxy. You still want to hear it?
Yes, mine, you can handle it.
This is a very nice story about Prabhupada. So Prabhupada was born in Bengal. In Bengal, what do they eat most of all?
Rice.
So when Prabhupada was, his family was in Calcutta, and he had a factory or shop in Allahabad, Johnson's Pharmacy. He had a pharmaceutical business. He also had a factory, he was manufacturing medicines. So when he was staying away from home, he had a servant who was cooking for him. But in UP, which is Allahabad, Uttar Pradesh, what do they like? Do they like rice?
Roti.
They like roti. So Prabhupada was Bengali. So every time he had his lunch, the servant used to say, he's a very nice cook, you know. Buy some and roti bautache. My chapati is very good. And Prabhupada said, no, in Bengali, I don't taste chapatis. Don't taste chapatis.
Hot.
I don't take chapatis.
No, no.
I'm from Bengal. We take rice. Rice, dal, sabji, you know, all that. And every day the servant would say, Baisak, me roti bautache. Prabhupada would say, this way he was going on for weeks, for months. And then one day, every day I'm saying no, no, just call my servant.
He's
a good servant. Okay, let me try one of your rotis today. So I gave him a hot roti and I'm blowing him like a football. Wow, it's very nice. And from then on, he took Chapatis.
Dear Baba King. So he was a very good servant. So I don't know what this has got to do with the point. You just see how a good servant can influence a master for a good thing. So you may be Shudra. All of us are Shudras, right? Most people who work in an office, we work for the government, we get paid money. I mean, it's a Shudra. Hello, Shudra Sambhavan. If you have a job, it means you're a Shudra. Except if you have a shop, maybe you've got a device. If you're working in an office or you're, you know, digging a hole, you're getting paid by a master. That's called Shudra. And then you may have a bad master. Maybe meat eater, maybe drunkard. But you have to do his garden. Make his garden nice. Or, you know, clean the floor, or clean the toilets. Because you're after the money. Working for money. You don't care for your master. But devotional service means, that's not devotional service, that you love the money, not the master. But when we come to devotional service, it's different. Because we love, real love is not that we're after the money. We don't want to come to Hare Krishna because we're getting a stipend. Because actually this is a condition. It's a condition, it does happen. Prabhupada gave permission. For people who have families and very poor, they were given an allowance to maintain and they have to have something to eat. So ISKCON proper gave permission for that, for monetary exchange. But a brahmachari doesn't usually have anything. Why should a brahmachari take anything? Or a sannyasi take anything? Any salary or payment? But maybe Grihastha needs something to maintain the family and so on. But we should live very simply, or else we become Shudras, you know, Brahmanas. Brahman doesn't want to take anything, wants to serve Krishna, he only wants to serve everything out of love and out of payment. Even Prahlad Maharaj. And the Srinidhava offered without anything, I'll give you anything. But I said, no, I'm not in this for anything in exchange. I just want to serve you. Okay, any more questions, please?
Yeah, Maharaj, one more question. Maharaj, you heard about fruitfulness. Compassion, mercy, austerity, but humble, humility.
Sorry?
Humility, humility.
Yeah.
Mahaprabhu says that humility is most important.
So now if you're not on this for regular principles, then you're not humble. It won't make you humble. If you're compassionate and you're truthful, you're clean, and you're austere. Why you shouldn't be humble?
Because of the false ego, Maharaj. False ego. I'm good. I'm the enjoyer.
We were also chanting Hare Krishna. We're chanting Hare Krishna. We're not just following the four regs. We're not just following the four regs. In the beginning we chant Hare Krishna. Prabhupada introduced the four regs. So the chanting cleanses the heart. Of our false ego, the holy gradually, and then
as we're following the four regular principles, then it makes it more effective. Just like if you have a fire and you're pouring water, you're trying to light a fire with pouring water, the fire will never burn. So that these four rules to dry the wood so you can light the fire of devotional service, the more we, our heart becomes purified, the more we realize Krishna is God and we are His servants, so we become humble. So, just to follow Prabhupada's order, we must become humble. Why should we follow Prabhupada? Why should we chant Hare Krishna if we're not humble? Actually, my friend, he told me to chant Hare Krishna. I didn't want to chant Hare Krishna. Honestly, I didn't want it. I thought, no, this, I don't want to become a zombie. He's dancing in the street, the shaved head, all that. I never want to become one of them. But because he was my friend, and he told me, he actually said something which impressed me. He said, "You're not this body." He told me, "You're not this body." And I thought, wow, that's profound, that's amazing, I never heard that before. And it sunk into my mind, so I thought, oh, my friend, he told me something really nice. And now he wants me to chant Hare Krishna. Okay, I've done so many crazy things in my life. I won't like to mention them in the holy place. But my friend is wanting me to chant Hare Krishna. Okay. So he said, Hare Krishna. I said, Hare Krishna. Reluctantly, Hare Krishna! Hare Krishna. And in this way he ran through the mantra with me. So I have to become humble, submissive. To chant Hare Krishna. You have to become just like on the street. And when we go and do a Harinam on the street, we get people to clap. When you get the people to clap, they're submitting. They're hearing the beat, they're hearing the rhythm. They're submitting, they're moving their hands. And then we have a mantra card showing Hare Krishna. And so many of them, they just laugh. They go like this. And then they say, no, it's okay. Hare Krishna. And then, Hare Krishna. And they can't say properly at first. But then gradually they do. And they give up their ego out of friendliness, because we're very friendly to them. Not by force, we don't want to force them, but it's like a party, Sangatam party. They're at a party, you let your hair down. Okay, I'll say Hare Krishna. And they say, so that they become humble, I guess. You have to become humble to somebody. That's a principle of accepting a spiritual master, is that we have to humble to somebody. Devotee, any devotee, become humble to them, listen to them, serve them. That's what Hare Krishna's life is all about. Becoming humble. Following the order of somebody, doing some service. Anyway, thank you. I hope that helps.
Mommy, can you tell me?
Yeah. 9 o'clock. Got 3 more hours to go. Prasadam.